Hi, I'm Rhonda Began, one of the executive leadership coaches at Living Wholehearted. And I love what I do as a coach, especially in our cohort setting. That's why I'm excited to tell you that we are starting a 2-year women's executive leadership cohort in April of this year. And I don't want you to miss out. You might think as a leader, there's no way I can take 2 years to do anything. But we designed our cohort specifically to be doable for the high-level leader. Through one-on-one coaching that is easy to schedule, to once-a-month virtual group coaching, and then 4 amazing retreats at our Living Wholehearted Lodge and Retreat in beautiful Sherwood, Oregon, in the heart of wine country. We will look at who you are and how your story matters. We'll look at how you're wired and why it's important to be who you are. And then we'll look at how you have the potential to impact not just your leadership, but your family, your community, and your world. Hope you join us.
Those kinds of rhythms start to really help our kids see that we aren't just human doers, we're human beings. And it also shapes the way that we experience our God. That God isn't just about us serving Him and doing for Him and building the kingdom. He actually is about being with us.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast, where we help you lead with integrity at home, at work, and in the community.
I'm Tara Mattson, a licensed marriage and family therapist and executive coach.
And I'm Jeff Mattson, an executive coach and organizational development professional.
And together we bring you 2 decades of experience in leader development and trauma-informed therapy. We are so glad you're here to help you become the leader you would follow. Well, hi.
Hello there.
It's so good to just have you and I today. We're going to just have a conversation around one of the things we love to talk about. It's time blocking and how to actually manage your time so that you have a thriving marriage, you're living out of your priorities, you're able to have room for what people call self-care or me time. So we're going to talk about just how Jeff and I do that, how we coach our clients, and often how we even do premarital counseling and helping couples start their marriages off in this way.
Yeah. You know, time is the most precious resource that we have. We never get more of it. It's always diminishing. And so for leaders, it's important how we are intentional about our time. And it's one of the biggest areas of challenge that I think we find working with our clients in the different disciplines of counseling or coaching. And it's work-life balance, always an issue that is on the forefront of our clients' minds, as it is in our lives as well.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things I hear you always saying when we're doing our retreats or we're teaching and this is how often root issues that we're dealing with maybe in our counseling office or in our coaching are related to our priorities being flipped upside down and giving our time away to the places that we say don't matter the most, right? Like actually thinking about time like we do money. How we do our diets and our health, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things to think about as a human being, but particularly a lot of us don't think about time and we just give it away. We're constantly putting out fires and we're letting life dictate to us what we do with our time rather than being not only prayerful and purposeful, but really blocking time out. I always think of my friend Sarah, who thinks, you know, we're always talking about holding our elbows out to protect the things. Like, what's the stance in basketball? Like,
yeah, it's like a ceiling stance.
Okay.
That, you know, you might have to seal a defender from getting the ball.
Yeah. We have to do that with our time to say, I've got to protect what I say I love the most and what's most valuable. And we got to do that with our time. So
I really love that you use the sports analogy.
Yeah. I don't even know what to call it. I don't play basketball, but.
That was awesome.
Well, give Sarah credit. She was hers. All right. Well, today we even spent some time calendaring.
Yeah, we did.
So I think that's what primed the conversation today. I remember talking with a couple we did premarital counseling with years ago. And no joke, I was like, so how was your honeymoon? And they're like, we spent the whole time calendaring out our year. And I said, you did what? And she's like, we got so excited about living so intentional as a couple. We spent a couple days just like mapping out the next couple years. And that might sound really
That's
insane
awesome.
To some of you, but I did. I was like, yeah. That's so fun. I hope you had some playtime as well and didn't just spend your time around your calendar.
It's fun to imagine your life together at that stage when you haven't been together and now you're doing life. Great way of getting organized right out from the gate.
Yeah. Well, the other reason this topic is coming up is because it is the beginning of the year and a lot of us have great intentions of how we want to spend our time, but a lot of us don't actually put into place those blockers, those holding patterns, and we just assume that we're going to make time for the things that matter the most to us. And by February, maybe March, we're failing miserably and we feel so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I often get asked, I don't know if you get asked this question, but it's a common question. How do you and Jeff do all the things that you guys are doing?
Right.
How do you, and I laugh because I go, that's a bigger question. Why don't we have 5 sessions together? But my quick answer is because we're really intentional. And honestly, we say no to more than what we say yes to. And we say yes to the things that we had prayerfully and intentionally decided were a part of our life for the year. Does that feel true?
Yeah. Yeah. No, people know us. They've reported that, said you guys are intentional and they feel that, they see that. And that feels good to be seen in that way because we are, and we really have to be. We're also 2 firstborns. So this is something that, you know, we got into, like my mom was dropping me calendars every Christmas, you know, it's like, I get a new calendar. Like, so, I mean, I learned calendaring from her. I have to say, I got to give her credit because it did help me get organized early and I found it energizing. And, you know, it served me well in college. I was time blocking in college before it was a thing. I had a planner, which, you know, people have planners, but like I was really time blocking.
I know, I met you and it was like metal. It was like super 80s, 90s cool.
It was an old stop sign.
It was an old stop sign.
In Seattle, a gift shop had, I thought it was awesome. They cut it out and converted it into a square planner.
This is pre-phones, yeah.
Like, it was totally Gen Z. Okay, all right. So it was like, I was into that. But those things contributed to our intentionality, kind of just again, sort of the, both of us were raised in families where, you know, you're achievers, you're performing, you're kind of getting after stuff and you're taking responsibility. And so we did, we had a lot of practice, which has paid off, but
But I would say starting our marriage, I say I had a lot of practice. My parents, you know, we did do a lot, but I also grew up with a lot of spontaneity and a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And so balancing the planning and also spontaneity. So I entered our marriage with filling every corner of my schedule. Like if I had any margins, I think about it in taking notes. Like if Jeff and I were to take notes in a class, every ounce of my paper, think old school writing with a pen and paper, would be covered because I do think this way, but it's just everything is covered and it's a little chaotic. And so though I'll have like this really clear linear outline in my notes, I'm also writing side comments and side thoughts and things.
That's not how I think.
No, it's not how you think at all. But I think that's how I entered our marriage is we'd have free time and I'd be like, this is when we get to have more spontaneous fun. And you would say, this is when we get to rest and recoup for what's already on our calendar. And so we had to kind of have a little bit of a wrestling match there verbally and work our way through that in the early years of marriage of what. Yeah. And now, fast forward almost 25 years of marriage, I would say we schedule in spontaneous opportunities. And then when there's, and we schedule in our rest times, and that has really helped someone like me who's a little more fluid in the way I do life, because now I can say, okay, this is my rest weekend, or this is my weekend when we can invite 15 people over and have some hospitality. It doesn't feel very flexible to the flexible person, but I'm telling you, it really helps us live out of our priorities.
Yeah. One of the best things that we did early was just to block out, like we talk about all the things that were important to us. And we do this, we usually do this in the late fall, you know, maybe just, late fall,
right now,
perhaps early winter. So things like our annual traditions are camping and things that would involve, our extended family members that are traditions and those kinds of pieces. We get those things on there. we build around work commitments that we know of, we would build around, and we just try to put much as we know, like kids' commitments, like their, mm-hmm. you know, their sporting activities, things that were definitely repeated in previous years that we knew were going to come again. Mm-hmm. We would be attuning to all that kind of stuff. Get out the school calendars, right? Make sure, you know, we know what the gaps are and we're not covering over stuff. And it felt great, you know, just to save those important things and then build around them.
Uh-huh. And then learning to not fill in all the white spaces, right? To actually have the margin, if you're thinking about the ruler paper, making sure that you've got a plan. And then the margin is left for those emergencies or
the spontaneity,
but also the ministry of availability, right? Mm-hmm. Of where there is somebody that you love and care for, or those moments where your child is needing a lot more quality time and you don't have something scheduled and you have to get out the door. You can actually just be available and be together and have presence. Or we're feeling the tension of a busy season. We'd have availability to say, hey, do you want to go on an extra date, you know, this time instead of one of the scheduled ones? And mm-hmm. I think that is, for some of us, a real practice. It starts with not filling up every corner of the calendar. But you're talking about big rocks. So we'll give you a secret. We're recording this in November, but it's airing in the new year. Okay, so bear with me as
I'm just calendared today.
Yeah, so we are right now thinking out for 2026, and we're going all the way to the end of next year. And don't think we're crazy, because it's actually a beautiful plan. Because we have a real tight skeleton, right? We're putting in the skeleton of all the things you just named off.
Mm-hmm. It allows us to live out our priorities. We've got them on the calendar. We kind of can set things in motion that we are save dates, right?
Yeah.
So you just know what you can do and build around. And
we still guess on some things. Like we think that Ad and I might go back to college around this time, but there's some variables that might happen. And we think that tryouts are going to be around this time based on previous years. And so mm-hmm. you start to see that this general time of the summer, we want to make sure we're home and we're not off planning things. Now, have we messed up in the past where we're like, oops?
We didn't consider, you know, the girls, all of the details of their sports team activities. No. And you know, church camps, for example,
yep.
that was another thing.
We messed up a few times.
And we had to pivot, you know, but we've take notes, you know, remember, let's catch it for the future years, right?
So I think what's the gift of that is it actually starts to show you, okay, what are our main work seasons? So if you are a professional who's working outside the home, you also have some big rocks for your work, right? And so like ministry folk, the fall, September is a terrible time to do much of anything because you're doing ministry launch. Or for people who do taxes, right? The January to April is a terrible time to plan much because they're in the zone. Yeah. For CPAs, I don't know what other big rocks are there for different businesses, but usually there's seasons.
Of course, yeah.
So getting all of those big rocks, so we do that for our business. We're self-employed, so we have to kind of mark out and go, okay, here's when.
We go to this conference every 2 years, and is it, you know, so you're thinking about those kinds of rocks that relate to business.
And then we also have regular meetings with our staff. We have retreats with our staff. We have retreats with our cohorts, mm-hmm. Giving you an idea of what our life is like. So those are planned out for 2 years. We know when our leadership cohorts are going to be coming. It also allows us to consider, do we have room for another cohort?
Because those cohorts are two-year journeys.
Yes.
Yeah, but not our staff calendaring is annually too. Yeah, so we know that we're going to show up a couple times for all staff at the business. And that's where we'll be present.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So we're giving you just an outline of our skeleton. So that would be our skeleton piece. Okay. So now we get to come in and we get to say, what do we need this year in terms of rest, in terms of play, and in terms of any additional asks that come our way, whether that's, any kind of speaking engagements, any sort of extra work that people are asking us to consider, writing projects. So 2026, I'll be publishing my next book, and I'll be doing a book tour. We've got some things for Courageous Girls. So that's already got blocks, time blocks, where I say, okay, my mind and my heart and my extra time is going to head in that direction. So I need to be careful what I say yes to in that season. So as we've mapped out the calendar, we have our big rocks. Mm-hmm. How do you think about rhythms of rest and self-care? And then I'll share how I do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talk about teaching leaders, it's important to tune to your body, you know, and it's easy for us as leaders to just dismiss that. We push through, we plow through. And next thing you know, our family members are like, you need to go fishing, you know, or something like that. One of the best phrases. So balance is important, and we get out of balance. So we just got to be able to receive feedback from each other to know what's going on in our bodies. You know, I hear you say periodically, it's kind of seasonally, you know, you would just be like, I think I'm going to, you know, mornings used to be my thing where I get up and get going right away. But I think I'm leaning into a season where I just like to have more of a slower morning and stack some things elsewhere, you know? And so I hear you talk about rhythms like that. For me, I'm more in the present. And so for me, it's less about thinking about out in the future so much as to what I want to tweak and change. It's more about tweaking and changing things in a given week or a given month. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I might mix some things or change some things up for myself to accommodate what might be needed.
So like one of those examples is you don't like to stack a lot of work on maybe a Monday morning, mm-hmm. where I would rather get my work done with people on the front end of the week. So we have different preferences there. So our actual weeks are our own.
Yeah. Being self-employed, we get this freedom. It's one of the pluses of being self-employed in this way. Not everybody has that freedom.
I know you're saying that, but I actually coach all my clients who have businesses or working for other people to actually schedule their meetings too, like based on their, you know, you might not get to choose as a staff to meet on Monday morning, but you can advocate and say, hey, I prefer to have our meetings Monday afternoon or on Wednesday in the middle of the week.
Yeah, if they're a position of leadership to be able to dictate that to their teams, great. But if they're not and they have meetings that are scheduled for them, that's a whole other story. So that's where it gets a little tricky.
Okay, a lot of nuance there. We'll just let it be. But we're saying you have more say in how you do your daily work rhythms than most people think.
And I think that for you and I, again, self-employed, sort of unique scenario there, we have flexibility and freedom to be able to try to support each other in our differences in that way. So when you say that I need focus time and I'm not going to be available in the morning, we do our best to try to honor that.
I told him
a lot of interruptions.
let me give some meat to that. I think it was about 2 years ago. I was saying, you know what? Having young children, I never got to have my mornings. Like, you're just always, as you know, parents, you're on in the morning, and I'm a morning person. And so I'd have to get up even earlier. And there was a season I got up at 4:30, people. That is insane. I don't know how I did that. But in order for me to have quiet and to have a workout before the day. So there was a couple years ago, I just said, you know what? I want to be like my 60-year-old friends who have these long mornings and they don't have anybody asking them for anything. And they would, in a way, brag and be like, yes, I had like a 2-hour quiet time. And then I went for another hour and a half walk and I talked with the neighbor and then I can meet with you at 1 p.m. And I'd be like, oh, that's so nice. So I said, I'm going to start claiming that. So slowly I have been inching my way. It's taking a while. I think I'm just showing how real this is to get my morning. So slowly I moved from an 8 a.m. start day to a 9 a.m. start time. And I'm imagining when I'm an empty nester, I don't think I want to start work until 10.
You got a ways to go to get 60 though, honey. I mean, you could be the 60-year-old doing that.
I know they are retired, but it still was
like, we got to work
this glorious thing that I thought, you know what, I can, but I have to be, you have to start being intentional with your time and to think about that. So that was me coming to you saying, don't ask me for a meeting before 9 a.m. because I am having a slow morning.
Well, you always have a reason for the things that you do. And
wait, was there sarcasm in that?
Nope. This is what you've shared with me many times. And I'm just affirming that I know this to be true
about
you.
It's because I'm an innovator.
And you like to switch it up. You're also a high merchant, likes to mix it up. So that's where I say seasonally, which is a very broad perspective principle here. You will change the way you do what you do, and that's awesome. I just, when you communicate it to me, and I get to join you in that process, yeah, as you're thinking about making shifts in your schedule and use of time, then I can support you with what you decide as best as I can. Vice versa, I'm like I said, I'm a little bit more in the moment, in the present. I like things a certain way. I don't really like to take meetings earlier than 8 o'clock generally, so I schedule them at 8 or after. And I like to be really done with meetings, you know, usually by 3. There's just balance for me between
sitting
with clients and having meetings. I really try to limit my in-person or virtual meetings to about 4 a day. You can do more, and you have a larger capacity for that. I need to go out and work land and get out of the office and get up and be working for the lodge and retreat.
That's because of wiring. We're talking about the core values index, but we've learned that you manage your time based on your wiring and when you're running out of a bucket of something. So the people part of you runs out, and now you got to go do more tasks and be away from people. And that's the builder part.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That task side is almost as strong as the people side. So I need that balance, and that's different mm-hmm. than it is for you. And so knowing that about each other has really helped us to be able to try to honor that in each other. Sometimes we get frustrated in that, just like anybody would. You know, when our differences collide in that space, but in general, we do a pretty good job and being efficient, getting a lot done because we are as intentional as we are. And it feels good. Most of the things that we do are connected, you know, they are connected to our priorities, right? To our marriage, or to the things that we value as a couple, which is relationships and the work that we do. And supporting leaders, and all of that stuff fits together. But, you know, even before our work is after our marriage is our family and our kids. And so we're in a transition. We just launched a college student last August. You know, we're new in that, right? And then we have one still home. And so we're adjusting there. And so lots of priorities that relate to that. And then, you know, outside of that, we're constantly talking as we can to attune to things that are important.
Yeah. So we do a step called the concentric circles. We talk about this in our book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap, and we work with leaders in our cohorts, particularly around how to schedule your time based on who your priorities are. And so starting with, for us, our relationship with God, and making sure that we ourselves as people are healthy, mind, body, heart, and soul. So that means moving our bodies. Are we taking care of how we're eating? Are we getting some time out in creation? The things that bring us joy, making sure that we have that and feel connected to God. And the next is marriage. If you're married, if you're not married and don't have kids, then you move further out into the circle, but you might have room for some dating. And then kids come after marriage. And then we move into work. And then we move into ministry and friends and church. Or actually, before work come family and friends, okay? And then being able to have community on the back outside. So community might be the neighborhood barbecue or, you know, our church is doing some sort of a service project to go clean up the neighborhoods. And that's both church and friends, or it could be more service and community oriented. And based on the amount of time we have and the season we're in and how many kids you have, shows you how much time you have for those outer circles. Okay. So if you're visually watching me, I'm drawing these circles. If you're just listening, just kind of picture these circles that are slowly getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so what's interesting about a lot of leader types, but just I think messages, we're told that we're supposed to be doing equal amounts in all of these circles. Like we should be serving.
We should be great at everything.
Yeah, we should be amazing at everything. But the thing is why we look at our calendar every year is it helps us to really assess where are we? Where's ground zero? Like our kids are 3 and 5 right now, or we're in the throes. There was one year where both our girls, don't judge us, but both our girls were doing club sports, and we were like, what did we do to ourselves? And we only have 2 children, you know, two girls. So
a lot of people are familiar with this in our listening audience. They're like, well, we have four kids or five kids and they're all in club.
Right. And too. I go, and I would be like, please, like, let's talk. Because it was insane just looking at our calendar that circled around. But it's learning how to say it's less about the sport. We don't care so much about the sport as we do care about investing in our girls and making time for them and what they're excited about and what they're passionate about. But if it means a tournament is colliding with Courageous Girls or colliding with a family event that we had or a family need, guess what? Our family is going to take priority over, and our faith community takes priority over even the sports. And so it's learning how to kind of put the big blocks in place based on your priorities. And then when things come up, it makes it easier to say yes or no.
That's right. So the genius of concentric circles for us, and this is why we shared it with others, is because it really works well for when we designed it for our own living, is that when something on the outer circle comes up, we begin to consider what would be the impact of saying yes to an inner circle, right? And that those are the examples that you gave. And it provides such clarity to go, you know what? I need to have a conversation with my wife and kids to see if this idea of a fishing trip, for example, with good friends, an outer circle, how that would impact our inner circles, our relationships as, with them. And maybe the answer is, hey, go fishing. It's great, which is awesome. I've connected to my priority, gone back, then I can schedule. Or the answer might be, hey, you know, we actually had this other thing we hadn't talked about yet that we wanted to do as a family. And so then the clarity is like, wow, find a different date for fishing, you know? So that it really has provided a lot of freedom. That's been the great goal. Intentionality that will produce freedom.
Yeah.
And that's what we want in our lives. A lot of people are just craving that sense of peace. That's such a, that's a value that everybody wants more of. Mm. And this is a good tool to experience more of that in your living, right?
Yeah. And I'll just give you a bonus kind of long-term perspective. If you've got kids in the home, one of the things that I think we have integrity gaps as parents is we're running around with our heads cut off, trying to do all the things from work to home to keeping up with them to making sure that we're doing our self-care and all the things we're doing. And our kids are seeing us running ragged. And so I would love, and one of the things we tried really hard with our girls is for them to see us resting, to see us playing. And it's not easy because sometimes when it's on the calendar to rest, you know, maybe you follow one day a week of Sabbath, or maybe like for me, I have intentional prayer retreats where I pull away for once a quarter for silence and solitude. Sometimes I'll bring a friend with me for accountability, but she cannot talk. So that it has to be a very important, you know, a person who loves silence and solitude with me. But those kinds of rhythms start to really help our kids see that we aren't just human doers, we're human beings. And it also shapes the way that we experience our God. That God isn't just about us serving Him and doing for Him and building the kingdom. He actually is about being with us and enjoying life with Him. So it's this both and. We don't want to be just resting all the day and, you know, again, them not seeing us doing anything. But I do think there is a, especially with our clientele, with high capacity leaders and high functioning those that can be pulled maybe towards performance-based kind of Christianity. We really want to encourage us to these slower rhythms at different parts of our week, different parts of our month, and different parts of the year where our kids really get to experience it. And I'll never forget when Addie told us how thankful she was for that, because now as a young adult in college, she's got these rhythms down. And she's watching her peers. This is no judgment on her peers, but it's a judgment on our Western culture that just thinks that doing and busy is a part of our faith and a part of life, where unfortunately it drives us to burnout. It drives us to unhealthy relationships.
Anxiety,
all kinds of mental health side effects. And so we, those of us with kids in the home now, I'm speaking to you specifically, is
practice, just getting to do not much but playing or being together without devices. I'll try to throw that in.
Yeah, and you just teed me up perfectly. I was just going to say that you're talking about the modeling, and it's less even about what you say. You know, that whole idea of that our kids pick up more of what's caught than taught. You know, and so our behaviors are so important. And so the other piece about time management and showing kids and helping kids, you know, has to do with the boundaries around devices and screen time and, you know, what, not just on their device, but also like maybe, you know, on TV or movies. And so, you know, those conversations, we just had one just the other night with Nevaeh, you know, and talking a little bit about just revisiting, you know, when we want to dock our phones and just the why behind that. And do we still want it to be at 8 o'clock? You know, does it need
8 p.m. people? We dock our phones at 8 p.m. Don't bug us after.
Yeah. And she just turned 17. And, you know, so there's, we just were renegotiating and having a conversation about this. Right. And it wasn't just like what's for her is different for us. There are some differences, obviously, because we are adults, but the why behind it, why are we trying to have these, this, is it to control? No, it's actually for our own health so that we can also calm our brains down before bed so you have better sleep. All of those things are so important. So yeah, what we model, just being intentional about what we model, and also just even being open and have awareness of maybe when we get it off. Like she at 17 has absolutely a voice to be able to mirror back to us and to say, you guys, this is what I see you guys doing. And we keep it real. This is important, right? Because we can have a blind spot.
And then we just get to shore it up. We just say, you're right. We loosened up. And so here's, we're giving you the ideal, right? We're giving kind of like, here's what we shoot for. But like every human being, it's like a rubber band. It's hard to hold it there. Eventually, we kind of want to go back to what feels innate. And what's innate for me is to fill up all my time with efficiency and to get it all done and to be like, woo, but I can't sustain that in a long-term way without being a really anxious, not very nice wife and mom. So in order to be a healthier wife, a healthier mom, and to actually show up well, I need to go back and shore up my calendar so that I'm making room for rest. So the same with the telephone.
the telephone.
Showing my age. We did have telephones back in the day. And actually, just side note, this is not about digital, but I am seeing an increase right now with young parents who are getting old school phones for their kiddos.
Flip phones?
No, like actual plugged in.
Landline that have like a cord or cordless.
We were cool before it was cool. We had landlines for our girls. Yes, those are coming back.
Wow,
yes,
something.
Because parents are getting smarter as they're realizing that yes, you want your kid to have emergency in case they need to call someone, but they can also use a landline. So it's also teaching them a lot of things without being their brains being overwhelmed. So the point of what I was trying to get to, hang with me, let me finish, is margin, modeling, and having grace when it's your kids tell you, well, you're not doing that either, and to be able to shore it up. So if we start to get into a busy season and we go, how did that happen? We just get to go sit back down at our calendars and say, let's make sure we do some blocking, caring for, let's shore up the docking of our phones, let's shore up the intentionality of Sabbath again. But it's not about perfection and keeping it, but it is about having a plan. Like if you don't have a plan, you're not going to do any of it. We've talked briefly about how you and I calendar differently, and I think it speaks to our wiring. But when it comes to time blocking, I just want to get really practical on the ground floor. I put everything on my calendar. Everything. So I put when we're having dinner. I put when I'm having a quiet time. I put when I'm working out. I put when I'm having an appointment. I even put notes in that appointment. Anybody who's going, what game, where, what we're doing on Saturday, when we're going to play games as a family, it's on my calendar. And then when there is white space and margin, I actually grab that and I add in there play, rest, spontaneity, writing. And the reason I do that is because I maybe have a problem with filling up my time. And so there's something in addiction work of you have to replace the maladaptive coping strategy with a healthy coping strategy. I'm being serious.
Why you're are you killing laughing? Me right now. I'm so glad this is recorded for eternity.
Well, I'm just speaking to anybody who's listening.
What I heard you say was that you have a problem.
With what?
With time and filling it up too much. Did I hear that right?
You did, but tell me, mirror back to me, how have you seen me in the last 29 years of our life? Have you seen me grow here?
I don't want to do that. I don't want to start a fight right now.
Okay.
Let's just emphasize the fact that you said you have a problem, and I will just affirm that there's some truth to that.
I do. So, and I apparently am still a recovering time addict. I don't know what I'm using, but in working, my mental health brain is saying that you have to replace. Yeah. If you want to have a new habit and you want to stop doing something that you know is not good for you. So this is part of my replacing. And I guess I'm giving it as a tip and a tool for those of us who have too much on our calendars and we need to shave things off. And so you're going to start taking things out and saying, I don't need to say yes to everything. Are they my inner circle? Is this serving the people I say I love the most and the most important people? And this is also why every year looking at the friendships that we're investing in, who's getting our time as personal time and who's getting our time as ministry time. Those are different kinds of people. And then we have business time.
That's good.
Okay, we're okay. Stay on track.
Business time.
Okay, let me just say
there's a great song by the Flight of the Conchords called Business Time that we love, and that was just awesome.
It's on marital sex, like it's on actually when you make time. So when I said that, we both went, is that what she really meant?
You could YouTube that. That's their song, Flight of the Conchords, Business
it's
Time.
It's great. When we take when we talk on sexuality, that's a whole other thing. That's a great clip. So enjoy that little side tip. But you do have to make time for business time. Let's literally for your sex life and for your marriage, you do have to make time for that as well. Mm-hmm. And if you're scheduling and you're stressed out of your mind, that is going to impact not only your marriage and your communication, but it's also going to impact your sex life. Ah, okay. Why not just weave that into time managing?
That was awesome. That was the highlight of the whole thing right there, huh? Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely do calendar different, right? So I need to be able to see my calendar on a particular day and what's there at a glance. And so to have too many things. So I like more white space. It helps me, and there's it's not necessarily better or worse. It's just different, right? You are an efficiency person, and I just want to, I know what I can handle. I'm attuned to my limits, and my limits are different than your limits. And I try to honor what I know about myself. And I've had a lot of practice over a lot of years. I know when it's going to be too much. I know where I can give and where I can add. But I live off my calendar as well, but I intentionally am spreading things out, not trying to condense or too much in a particular time. And I'm blocking out things on certain days, like you said, like the morning. I don't like to start a Monday after a weekend like at dark 30. I don't have to. I'm self-employed. I can make the decision to schedule outside. And a lot of leaders need to remember that, as Henry Cloud says, that you're ridiculously in charge, right? We just give up. We make excuses all the time as to why we do what we do. But when you realize that you might be out of balance, remember that if you do you have probably more authority over your scheduling to make choices than sometimes it feels. Get back to that truth and then do something about it. Close that gap. And, so we're right there with you. Sometimes it happens to us as well, and we gotta shore it up. We gotta make changes.
And we'll end with this. Okay. We use each other. This is part of marriage, or if you're single, having a mentor or a coach that can help with accountability. But we use each other kind of to bounce off if one of us is trying to squeeze something in, or it could impact our inner circle.
you said something about fishing earlier, and I thought sometimes I might say, I don't know if I've actually ever said this to you, but I might say, is this about you and your inner circle? Like, do you really need this time with you and the Lord so that you can reset?
You've said that.
Yeah. Or is this about you hanging with your buddies outside and we have some other things that the girls and I need from you? And depending on which part, you're going to be honest, and I'm going to want to help you. And so if you're really needing that center circle, I'm going to say, go fishing, get some time with you and the Lord.
Yep. And vice versa. You're like, I am craving time, like a writing retreat, you know? And so then we look at the calendar and you're like,
figure it out.
Here you go. And let's get out. Let's get you out to the spot that you love to do that. And you're like, I think I want to invite a couple friends who also can respect the fact that they'll have quiet time too. And so exactly, when you're working together, you're trying to honor each other's values, honor the values in yourself, kind of how you, what your needs are, not necessarily just wants, but needs. Mm-hmm. And then you look into how you can support your partner if you are in a relationship in that way. If you're single, you have a little more autonomy in some respects that in that regard, or maybe less, you know?
Yeah. But when there's a no, I use you a lot for the no's. I don't like it when you're just like, hey, Tara, what about these other things you said yes to? How is that going to impact? And I'm like, well, it won't. And he's like, really? And I'm like, you know, if I look at my own track record, I'm like, yeah, if I'm honest with myself, it probably will. I won't show up fully to the things I said yes to already. So when I am on the fence on something with time, whether it's next week or in 6 months or in a year, I will use someone else to help with that too. And so there's this process of, for those of us that are praying and talking to the Lord, asking him, is this something that you want me to say yes to? Is this something that will impact our kids? So if one of your children wants to do something, but you've got four others and it could impact the entire family, you've got to think about that. It really is a part of the wounding that adds to children over time when they're running around for one child. And yet that one child might really need to have that energy put in. So how can we make it equitable for some of the rest of the kids? So partnering, look at your seasons. If you can't plan out a year, maybe plan out a quarter, like, you know, start in the August and plan out till the end of the year and then do a quarter at a time. Being able to find places of rest, places of play, like take a vacation if you never take vacations, and doesn't have to be expensive, but time where you're not working and you're not on.
Yeah, I'm actually really a big supporter of the idea that instead of like, oh, one big trip, you know, every year, and we don't do anything fun outside of that, because we have our one big trip. For some families, they have that commitment, they do that. I am definitely much more in favor of more frequent, smaller things, and find that that is, creates balance and health in a family system, that is, worth pursuing. I've never seen anybody regret doing more frequent things together as families that are maybe less expensive. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't do a big trip or something like that or something special, but just more frequency creates more rhythm and more health, I think, within family systems. Yeah. I've never really seen anybody regret it.
Yeah, go for a hike, do a picnic, go overnight to the beach, whatever you can do for small little pieces. And it is those rhythms, consistency. And then you don't have to use half of your vacation just to recover from the half of the year, right? And totally. So again, some of what we're talking about, I am aware, sounds like privilege. It sounds like, well, you guys are self-employed. You know, there's a lot of pieces, but we work with a wide variety of people, from single moms to church ministry that feels like, well, the needs are so great. We go, we get it. We've been in church ministry. We know deeply what that is like.
To families that have six plus kids. I mean, and are trying to really be efficient.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. You have to go, what is your story? What are your responsibilities? And what is your wiring? And learn to live in that. And that's the integrity. The integrity isn't trying to live our life like the way we do it, but taking maybe a tip or two and to say,
who are we and where are we? Ground zero. What stage of life are we in right now? And live in that. Don't live beyond that. It's similar to a budget. Don't live like you're retired when you are in the early stages of your career, still needing to save, right? And so you get to make different choices at different parts of your life in your journey. Financially, the same as with your time. So steward it well. It's not a guarantee that we will have tomorrow. And so really being able to enjoy the day you have today with the people you say you love the most, and you won't regret that. You won't look back and go, I coulda, shoulda, woulda. And so that's really what we're encouraging and challenging as we're helping leaders shrink the integrity gap, particularly in really what we say who we say we love the most, making sure our time doesn't get hijacked from them.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Began, one of the executive leadership coaches at Living Wholehearted. And I love what I do as a coach, especially in our cohort setting. That's why I'm excited to tell you that we are starting a 2-year women's executive leadership cohort in April of this year. And I don't want you to miss out. You might think as a leader, there's no way I can take 2 years to do anything. But we've designed our cohort specifically to be doable for the high-level leader. Through one-on-one coaching that is easy to schedule, to once-a-month virtual group coaching, and then 4 amazing retreats at our Living Wholehearted Lodge and Retreat in beautiful Sherwood, Oregon, in the heart of wine country. We will look at who you are and how your story matters. We'll look at how you're wired and why it's important to be who you are. And then we'll look at how you have the potential to impact not just your leadership, but your family, your community, and your world. Hope you join us.